live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach. And once again,
yeah,
we got our girl in the house, my sister. Yes. I was super excited. And she was like, yeah, I'll do it with you, because she did it with Jared while I was out. And so I was like, can you do this with me too? So we have none other than Miss Jamia Bird in the house again with us.
Yes.
Episode 146 of the Feel to the Real podcast.
Yes.
So
excited to be here.
Yes, I'm super excited. I always like, last week we had Angela on, and so I'm always excited when there are other women who have like a real knowledge of like sports. She's a sports journalist, so she was popping off stuff last week. They've got this sport defensive. They okay, let's talk then, right? I really appreciate that we can have this conversation essentially.
for sure.
to today, and so we always start out by giving. We're not doing no introductions. You get your own Kool-Aid at this point. We ain't got to go through no bio, no none of that. You always on here.
Okay.
She is a former UGA track athlete.
Go Dawgs, national champions.
Go Dawgs, national champions, right.
Still riding high.
Okay, I believe it. I feel you. I almost put on red and black tonight, honestly. Yes. Like,
still riding high.
Yep. But, and Jamia also, for you all who don't know, is the owner of New Breed Works, which I am partner, one of our business partners in that, along with Core Parks. And now Jared is also involved in that with us. Yeah. And so, just you want to tell them a little bit about what New Breed Works does. We can't plug it enough.
Okay.
And then anything else that's going on or happening that you want to share.
Yeah, so awesome. Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure to be here and talk sports, which we talk sports all the time anyway, but it's cool to do it in this format. So once again, thanks for having me. And anytime I can stand in for either one of y'all or join y'all, it's an honor and a pleasure. So yes, New Breed Works, we are a company that works with high school student athletes to help prepare them for transition to life after sports. Currently, we have our curriculum called the Exchange Zone, and it is hosted on a platform called Teachable. So it is an online self-paced course where student athletes and their parents can come in and learn about life skills, relationships, college application process, leadership, entitlement, the whole gamut we expose them to, just to help prepare them as they make that transition and give them tools that will stay with them for the rest of their lives, essentially, because we know that they're in a critical time in their life where the things that they learn now will shape the trajectory of their future. So we know how important it is to catch them in this window of time in which we have now. So our Exchange Zone course is now available. You can visit newbreedworks.com for more information about the course. And if you know of any schools, coaches, districts, ADs, superintendents, principals, athletic directors, help tell them to check it out. They can send us a message and we'll be glad to connect with them.
Yes, yes. Like I was thinking about this today, like it's serious. We really gotta like, I think Rennie just posted, Rennie Curran, I'm sorry, y'all, we know Rennie, but we just say Rennie. Rennie Curran just posted on LinkedIn this story. He had a picture of him when he was 10, and this story about how he had to humble himself to be coachable and get the team and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And he talked about how to transition, because you think you're good at one thing, you think it just translates. And that transition is so hard sometimes. And so I was commending him. I responded to him, like commending him for saying those things.
Right.
Because people just see the end result and they think that it's easy to get there. So like even from high school to college, there is a huge transition that happens. There's a huge learning curve that goes on. So the better prepared an athlete can be for that. And like you said, life skills, they go with you anywhere all the time, no matter what, when the sport's over with you, you still have them. So it's invaluable information that we think is going to be game changing for this next generation.
Absolutely.
So, y'all check us out, like she said. So I don't want to miss this opportunity to give you if anything else is happening, because we got to happen and I got to talk about it, but you go ahead.
Like anything in my life, like what you mean? Like anything?
Anything you want to share that's happening with you, for you?
I mean, for me, 2022 is all about accomplishing goals, you know, setting realistic, manageable goals. So obviously we all have big goals, like this year I want to do this, but I'm learning now to kind of break it down, like, okay, this quarter I want to do this, and I've even started bi-monthly, and for January I have accomplished the goals that I set. So just making more realistic with our time, with our schedule, with all the things that we have going on, what is realistic for me in this time frame, and being okay with that, but also celebrating the small successes that are part of the big goal. So I could say that's what 2022, that's kind of how I came into it. And I feel good about that approach that I'm taking, like personally, but also professionally as well. So off to a pretty good start, I would say.
I love it. You know, as a coach that just does something to me. This is what I try to tell people all the time. So I love it. So good for you. Okay, so y'all, I'm happy. I had to ask, could TT say this, okay? So okay. I am so excited to share that we have a new member of the Feel Good family.
Yes!
He was born yesterday at 5:43 p.m. Mr. Drew Burgess is here. Yes! He is a big old baby. He was almost 9 pounds.
And whoa!
Almost 22 inches long.
My God.
Whoa, right? But he is here, and so just beautiful. He looks beautiful. Listen, beautiful. He looked just like his granddaddy. It's amazing.
Wow.
Jared's dad passed last year. He looks just like his granddaddy.
Wow. It's
so amazing. But he kind of looked like his daddy too, because
he does the right like
his so, yeah. But yeah, he's here. So we are excited.
Congrats to
tell you all. So help me in welcoming Drew Burgess to the Feel Good family.
I love that name too, and I love how they spell it.
Yeah. So you know they're all J, so it's spelled like Drew Holiday. It's J-R.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I think about Drew Holiday.
So So all right, so we're not going to hold it up anymore. Oh, and by the way, it was a friendly nudge from my brother about the real roll call, because I don't keep time like he did. So I'm just saying, we're going to stay a minute on our responses.
1 minute? Okay.
When we get to the real roll call.
Got it.
But we starting off with our who's really right.
Okay.
And so it's just been easy for me, because we just trucking along with the NFL right now. And the week before I went 6-0. Last week I went 2-2.
Okay.
This week I'm gonna be a little gutsy, I think. But of course you're our guest host, so you go first.
Okay.
Our playoffs this week. Cincinnati versus Kansas City. Who you got?
Kansas City. Cincinnati's going to give them a fight. Cincinnati's going to give them a fight, but I'm going Pat Mahomes all day.
So anybody who watches or listens to this knows how I feel about Travis Kelce.
Oh, yeah.
That's my boyfriend, honey. You don't know it, but he is. That's my football boyfriend. Watching them last week gave me the feels again. Like they in that groove. But I am watching Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And this kid doesn't know how to lose. It don't sit well with him. And so he's right. like, I said this last week, we call him the LeBron of the football. You pick up the mop bucket and everything and just take the team with him kind of thing.
Right.
So I am going to, I'm going to go with Kansas City for this one, though.
It's going to be a great game. They're going to fight. I don't think it's going to be, like, lopsided. It may come down to how this last week came, where whoever gets the ball last is going to win the game. Or whoever makes that big changing play, that momentum changing play.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to be a pretty evenly matched championship game.
We'll see. So the next one, San Francisco versus L.A.
Listen, I didn't watch much of the San Francisco Green Bay, but I caught the end of it. They just seem to be hungry to me, you know, like number 6 seed, I believe, coming in, Deebo Samuel running the ball like he's a grown man. Like he carried them, you know.
Absolutely.
But LA is where we expected them to be, right? Like we expected them to compete for a Super Bowl, and you know, that's what they're doing. So I think that's gonna be a pretty evenly matched game. I'm gonna go with San Francisco. I'm gonna ride the upset all the way because I feel like they got a chip on their shoulder.
Okay.
They don't have anything to lose. Like, they're not supposed to be there. Where LA, we expect them to, you know, it's Super Bowl's in their stadium. We've been expecting this, you know, this whole season. So I'm going to go San Fran on that.
Okay. Well, good, because I don't want the San Francisco 40. You know, anybody who listens knows how I feel about Kyle Shanahan. So I am definitely going to pick the Rams. And I'm going to tell you, it's two reasons. One, Matthew Stafford.
And I wouldn't be mad at that. You know that.
I know you wouldn't. The man deserves it after the
career. He does. He's a baller.
Mm-hmm. He deserves it. But I'll say this. Having OBJ just took Cooper Kupp and the whole lot of it to the next level in my mind.
Agree. Yeah.
So I feel the catches that dude was making.
Yeah.
I said, he got to have some sticky stuff on his head.
Right.
What is happening? Mm-hmm. But it looked like OBJ from back in when he played in New York, right?
And we're used to seeing.
Yes. And so having him with an arm like Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp is leading in just about every category you can think about. They have power offense. And then we can't leave out that other side. You got Aaron Donald. Listen, you finally seeing, you know, some life out of Von Miller. It's a done look. Jimmy G, here's what I'll say. If Jimmy G, he gonna have to really play.
Yeah, he didn't really play this past game.
Deebo Samuel, like you said, he carried them in that last game.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gonna have to figure out something else. I mean, he gonna still get his because I was texting Jared during the game, like, he is one of the most, that's the new look of the NFL, that versatile player.
All right.
Like, what's his, Taysom Hill and Deebo Samuel, like, they can do anything. Deebo can do anything.
Right. He really can.
He can do anything. And so, having but they're going to be focused on him.
Right.
So Jimmy G got to show up.
Yeah. Jimmy. And I think he knows that because in his post game, you know, he alluded to that, like, hey, we gotta play better. You know, this is not gonna get us to where we need to be if we play like this next week. So
because I'm surprised you beat Green Bay, honestly, with you not playing. But again, Deebo did his thing, but they weren't expecting it to be so
heavy. Oh, yeah, no, for sure. That was the problem. The game?
So I think that having this week of preparation, they're not going to let Deebo just do what he
did. Yeah.
So our who's really right? We own one. We picked one to say. So we both said Kansas City, and you say San Francisco, I say LA.
Yep.
So y'all let us know. Who's really right? We're on to real good topics. And our first topic, listen, So I know that, what's her name? Aaliyah, I can't think of her name, from South Carolina, is a baller, right? Mm-hmm. Can't think of her last name right now. But this girl right here, this woman right here, Caitlin Clark of Iowa, is a beast.
Yeah.
She is a beast. She made history last week. First D1 player in both men and women's basketball, let's be clear, mm-hmm. to have back-to-back triple doubles while scoring at least 30 points in both games.
Right. Amazing.
You just dominated. Like, yeah. She just had a 44-point game. Like, girl is just balling, okay? Mm-hmm. Just yeah, balling. She's also the first woman in Big Ten college basketball with back-to-back triple-doubles. So it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then she just recently, like 2 days ago, broke another record.
Wow.
With the most assists in Big Ten history with 17.
Wow. She's a well-rounded, she's like a walking triple-double. Literally.
I can't wait to see her in the WNBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's only a sophomore. So we got two more this season plus two yep. more seasons. Like mm-hmm. She's only gonna get better.
Oh my gosh. I said, wow. She's for real. Like, I'm trying to remember. It was who was the last player that just was really like, wow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, wow.
Diana Taurasi.
Okay. Well, Maya Moore. She does. Maya came to mind, but it's been another young lady that played at UConn after Maya. And I cannot think of her name right now. She was a baller. But she was a baller too. She was like, because she broke some of Maya's records. Like she was a baller. I just cannot think of her name right now. But this young lady.
Mm-hmm.
This real right here, okay?
Yeah. Real. It's definitely a good story.
Yeah, I said I'm going to do better because I don't really typically, honestly, watch a lot of college basketball until they get to like March Madness.
Yeah.
But I said I'm going to have to check them out because I'm sure that because of her, they're going to be on TV more.
Right.
So I'm going to have to check her out. I want to just see her play for myself, like not just see her stats, but play for myself. Mm-hmm. Clearly she's a little bit above the average player at this point. So so we're gonna see what happens with her. So all right, so next, I'm glad that story wasn't long because these next two might take a minute.
Okay.
The Bills versus the Chiefs game left a sour taste about the overtime rules. So I put a stat here. It says 90.9% of the teams that win the coin toss win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So should this rule be changed?
Absolutely. It is what it is, but it's not fair. I was looking it up, and this was very good. Emmanuel Acho, who I love, he's amazing. He said this. He said, it's time to reexamine the rules. He said, Josh Allen threw for 329 yards and 4 touchdowns. He scored on 3 of his final 4 possessions and never touched the ball in overtime. Mm-hmm. Not allowing Josh Allen, the best player in today's game, to touch the ball in overtime is one thing the NFL must fix. A game this great shouldn't have come down to a coin toss.
Yep.
Point blank, period. That game was as evenly and as fairly played as any game we can almost argue this season.
Yes.
And it up to this point is the most important game, right?
Because right. We have
this week.
Absolutely.
So the fact that Buffalo didn't even get a chance, we got to fix that because we got to figure out a way to make overtime as fair as regulation with stipulations of, you know, how the time and all that, where the ball is placed, maybe the ball, both teams get the ball on the 40, and like something has to change, because if Buffalo did all they could, they didn't lose.
Yeah.
Kansas City won. Buffalo did not lose that.
Right.
And as a player, I could imagine, I mean, they were just distraught, but that's not their fault. They just called the wrong thing.
It just happened the way that it happened.
It's chance. So, yeah, and typically, especially if the team that wins the coin toss was a team that scored, the tying score of Kansas City did, they already had the momentum. So they was already rolling and they're playing at home.
Right.
So, you know, like that really set bad, you know, but the rules are the rules. But we gotta look back at that, because that game was too great to come down to chance.
Yeah, no, it was. I agree.
Too great.
It was. And Kansas City knows what this feels like.
Right. This happened to them, what, last year?
Happened to them 2 years ago against the Patriots. Yes. So they know what this feels like, right? They know exactly what this feels like. So I Jared and I try not to just come talk about a problem. We come with a solution. If the NFL is cared to hear what we have to say, why don't they do something that is close to what they do in college, where both teams get the ball regardless?
Right.
And I know the reason that they don't want to do it is because, you know, unlike college football, that's not true, but I think more so than college football, the way that they structure the games is so tight on TV that they have to take all of that into consideration. So what if they had kept, they probably could have kept going for another couple of hours, just back and forth like that. Touchdown, 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 touchdown. And you can't let it end in a tie. It's a game that's got to be decided. So you would have had to have just let them go back and forth and go back and forth. But I just feel like it seems more fair to let it happen that way. And whoever runs out of gas runs out of gas versus you just say, you know, and then it's not even like or you come up with another system. Flipping a coin seems very antiquated.
Yeah.
You come up with another system, another way to determine who gets the ball first. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other than just a flip on a coin.
Yeah, like a full kickoff, they got to go the length of the field. Then you say, okay, y'all got to start on the opposite 20, you know what I'm saying? Opposite 25. Like, even if it comes down to like in the third or fourth one, but like the first one, they both got to get a chance. Like, I get we have to end, but like, Buffalo, that my heart was hurting for them, because they deserve a chance to win, because they played, a winning football game.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the game
they played a winning football game. But yes, I think it has to be changed. And I think the NFL should take a look at that.
Absolutely. I felt like it was heartbreaking to watch.
And I knew Kansas City was going to score. I knew that. I was like, it's over. I almost turned the TV off. I was like, what? Like, they about to score. They had just scored before. I'm like, okay, it's over.
First of all,
sorry, Buffalo. I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys. Right.
They knew
as soon as they got the ball.
They did.
Knew as soon as that coin toss went their way, it was over. They was already celebrating before they even got on the field.
Yeah, they knew.
They were about to do what they were going to do. But, I just feel like NFL, do better. This is one y'all need to figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure out a better way to do this. Make it fair. It shouldn't come down to this and somebody's, because this leaves you like, I imagine they would rather lose handily than go this way. You know what I mean? Right. Just beat us down. And that makes me feel better.
because they couldn't have done anything else. They did all they could do.
Yep.
They did. It's a sad situation.
Like, so I need them to fix this. NFL, we need you to fix this.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now this next story. Y'all just bear with me, because I'm going to read everything I wrote here, okay? So the National Hockey League just had a racial incident that happened. Jordan Subban was the brother of NHL All-Star defenseman PK Subban, had an altercation in his minor league hockey game with Jacob Panada. According to Jordan, Jacob made a monkey gesture at him during the altercation. Jacob was suspended indefinitely and eventually let go for this incident. He has since released a video on Twitter explaining that it was a tough guy motion, not a monkey move, and it was not racially motivated. So I was wondering, let's talk about it before I ask the question. Let's talk about the, what happened first. I listened to PK Subban's, he did a press conference.
I did, yeah.
And listening to him talk about having, that the NHL needs to do better, mm-hmm. that this should not be happening. We know that seeing or people of color that are starting to be a part of it, mm-hmm. it's definitely growing. I just wonder if there is a culture that is in place here that it needs to be addressed for real. You know what I mean? Like, let's not pretend like, oh, he did what? Like, don't, because mm-hmm. from what I understand, just in reading stories from African-American players who play hockey, a lot of times they're getting from the fans, from the players, a lot of this kind of stuff happening. Right. And so I'm doing a training right now with an organization. And in that training, we're talking about shifting cultural norms. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the NHL may need to take my train because y'all need to switch your cultural norms. And for it not to feel like, the question was, could Jacob, who was the accused, because they all got J names, Jacob, who was the accused, could he have been telling the truth that he was just, because in his statement, his Twitter, in his tweet, he said, I always make this like tough guy thing when I get into these altercations, because he seems to be a little slight of size, I will say that, to play hockey, but it's minor league, so I'll leave that alone. But he said that that's what he always does, and so I was wondering if that feels like that's the truth, or is he just covering his butt, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And is it that Jordan took it the way that he did because of the culture? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So right. I'm just trying to figure, I have no idea what his intention was, whether he meant it that way when he did it, or if he thought about it later and said, I shouldn't have done that, and that was his excuse. Either way, it's an allegation. It's not, they have not said, I don't think they've actually even tried to prove it right or wrong. They just took Jordan's word for it and got rid of him.
Correct.
What do you think?
So I went back and I found the clip. It was kind of hard to see, but they were clearly going at it. Mm-hmm. And I listened to Jacob's Twitter mm-hmm. video. Mm-hmm. And I could honestly see what he was saying.
Yeah.
I don't think from being in the heat of the moment, first of all, they all was fighting and trying to get each other on. So it was just a whole mess happening.
Oh, you just pick right? him out to be the person that you say.
Right. Like it was, yeah. So, but they, it was, you know, once they got separated, it had become those two. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I didn't think it was a racial gesture. I thought it was a man to man, like, oh, you want, yeah. like, what's up? Yeah. Like, that's what I yeah. saw.
Yeah.
But then looking at Jordan's reaction, that's not what he interpreted.
Exactly.
Because he tried to charge back at
right,
him.
Right, right.
So I get your point. Like, the culture is what it is. So So everything, we're so sensitive. Not saying that he's sensitive for feeling that, but like everything is so hypersensitive that everything right. is something.
Right.
And then we're in a place where like organizations react. And right. first they said they were suspending him indefinitely, but they were going to investigate. Then next thing I saw, he was gone. Yeah. So it's a very volatile space because yeah. you want organizations to respond.
Right.
You want players to feel like they're being protected, but you also need players to feel like they're being heard as well.
Yeah.
In the midst of a conflict, you know? Yeah. So, but I do know hockey, they have diversity issues and they have inclusion yes. issues and things like that. Yes. And this may not have been that, but it could have shed light on that as yes. how it played out. But I listened to PK as well. And, you know, what he was alluding to was, if this wasn't my brother, then his voice would not have been heard in the way that it's being heard right. now. Right. Which that made me, that hit some, because I was like, okay, that's true. Now, whether Jordan meant it that way, whatever, yeah. whatever the situation is, the fact that we're talking about it is because of who PK is.
Right.
Not because of who either one of them are.
Nope. That's it. That's
so
that in itself is a problem, because
that's a bigger problem than if he meant it as a racial thing or not. Absolutely. To me, like the fact that, you know, it's only getting pushed because of PK's yep. status and his social media influence and, you know, his track record.
Right.
Now it becomes a national conversation. So there was a lot in that, but I could see what he was saying. I didn't take it as that, but I'm not right. in the culture of hockey every day either.
Right. And we don't know what was said. We don't know. Like, yeah. none of that. Like, I mean, he seemed pretty, I want to say, I don't want to use the word confident, but that's the only thing that's coming to mind. Pretty confident in his, like, he seemed like he was sincere in what he was saying.
I did. I thought he was.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, we don't know what happened. But I feel like what it did is what you just said. It opened up a bigger issue. Let's talk about what's really happening. That would even make somebody who plays with you or plays against you, that would be their first thought, that you were coming at them in a racial manner, because mm-hmm. this is what they're used to. This is what, and who knows, you might have said something earlier that made him feel like when you mm-hmm. did that, like, we don't know the whole story, and we're not trying to be judge and jury here. I just wanted to bring up the point, because I felt like, In case Jacob did not truly mean it the way that it was interpreted, could it be the conversation needs to be less about his actions and more about the NHL?
Correct.
What they do going forward.
Correct.
To try to correct the whole issue, the bigger issue. Let's not focus on this little part, and it's not little, but this part right here, when there's a bigger issue at work here. And I feel like that's where they need, mm-hmm. that's where the attention in this needs to go. And that's what I appreciated. That was kind of PK's point too, was yeah, it didn't get any traction. It only got traction because of who I am, but now I'm about to just bring it all the way to the front. We're gonna talk about it, right? And so, mm-hmm. and even saying that, you know, this is something that needs to be dealt with, and he's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's right. You know, why would I go to work to be abused?
Right.
And you allow me to be abused. That, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's not how this should go. So I just thought that was an interesting story to kind of mm-hmm. talk about. I think what you said was right. We're in a hypersensitive time. Not that people aren't, there's not reason for it necessarily, right. but I think if we don't deal with the bigger issues, then it just continues to happen. And we're gonna always be having these moments where it's, oh, I'm mad about this. We see it when things happen. This is what happens. We go out, we express how we feel, and then we go back. We express how we feel, but because we don't ever really deal with the real issue.
Right.
The real issue never gets dealt with. So we're gonna move on from there. Real roll call. This is, of course, anybody who knows now knows. Jared started this when I was out, and it is my absolute favorite part of the show, because this is us giving our I like the words you just used, succinct opinion about a certain topic. And so so we're going to get started. I'm not timing, Jared. I'm sorry. Sorry, but we will keep it short, I promise. All right, so our first topic is Naomi Osaka. She loses, but she is laughing and smiling at the net with the girl, just happy. And she says, she's just having fun now. What you think?
Let her live. Let her live. She's great. We have seen her go through mental battles and challenges. She's young. She's already accomplished greatness. Let her live. She looks in good spirits. She looks healthy. She looks mentally healthy. She's physically strong. She's enjoying herself. She's living her life. I don't have a problem with it. Let her live.
Amen. I concur. But you know, there are the people who say, oh, you play a competitive sport. You shouldn't be, you know, in that space where you're okay and happy with losing or whatever. Well, just because I'm happy doesn't mean I'm okay with losing. I need that to be the first thing. Like, who's to say that she didn't lose and she was still in good spirits to say, well, good, congratulations to you, and I'm glad for you, and I'm happy, this was fun, but I'm going to train my butt off so that the next time I see you, you're going to feel these hands over here, right? So we don't know where her, but you said it, she's been in this space, you know, turmoil within herself, her mental state, so for her to be happy and smiling, I'm all here for it. Go for it, Naomi. I feel like everybody who plays sports should feel, you should, of course you should compete and give your all, but when you've done that, it's over.
Yeah.
People always, I'm gonna say this and then we're gonna go on. People always fuss about how now football players at the end of the game, how they all on the field and they be talking and all of that. You know, old school football players like, what is that? We didn't do that. Like, well, y'all was just grumpy then because this is good. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah.
It's called being an adult and having healthy relationships.
Yeah. And she has she has something going on. That girl, they played once again back in the day and the girl's father had passed something. They had history there. So there was more to that moment.
Yeah.
Then her just like, ha! Like they had some type of history as well. I don't remember exactly what it was, but something happened with them in the past. And, you know, she was excited for her to get a victory. So
that's all. Come on, y'all. Calm down. All right. So the next one, we back to this football game. Listen, Kansas City and Buffalo. So I'm going to start, but I'm going to go backwards for a minute. All four games of the divisional playoffs were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't think have you ever seen four more evenly matched good games like that in the divisional playoffs? Because it's usually one or two where they blow them out. It just, I don't know why you were here in the first place.
One by field goal, amazing football. Like literally, if you watch like the last 3-4 minutes, you got the game. Like it was just like the end of every game was so good. It was great football, great fundamental football.
Yeah,
catches, quarterback, it was beautiful football. Like amazing. Like that's what you want playoffs to be. Absolutely. That's what you want the divisional round going to the championship game. You want those teams to earn it.
Yep.
And it was as evenly matched as it could have been. 3 points every game.
Every game.
Field goal. Which is the importance of special teams. Ooh. Because special teams won every single game.
Yes, they did.
Green Bay, that's kind of why they lost. Maybe not why, but they had some special team errors. Special teams is important. And it was great football. I didn't watch every game, the whole game, but I caught the end and that was exciting enough for me.
That was enough, right? Yeah. So for me, I don't know about you, but that Kansas City Buffalo game, best I've seen. I don't even want to say just this season. Like the only game that really sticks out that's like on that level to me, and it's probably more emotional than anything, was the win that two games. The win that the Giants had over the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
With the catch.
With the helmet catch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this one was probably emotional for sure. The kick from Morton Anderson to send the Falcons to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That game was great.
Mm-hmm.
This, however, on a whole nother level for me.
Yeah.
First of all, I've never seen quarterback play like this. Mike Golic said that we are watching the new Peyton Tom Brady.
I can see that.
With Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
I can see that.
So what you think? It was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I think, you know, you see the pro athletes being pro athletes. Like this is what the NFL is. They're the best of the best. They're in the NFL for a reason. Mm-hmm. They're gifted, they're talented, they're skilled, they work hard. And for them to come out and put on a show, you know, like as a fan, that's what you want to see. Like that's why you watch football, whether you are a fan of them, those particular players or those particular teams, good football is good football. And they gave that to us. Pat Mahomes, we know he's a winner, proven already, but yes. Josh Allen and the Bills, like we said, man, they played as tough as they could, man. They gave every single thing they had. I'm sure they'll go back and look and say, okay, you know, we could have did this better, this better, this better, but they put themselves in position to win, and that's what you want to do in the playoffs. Like, get to the playoffs and just keep trucking, keep working, give yourself a chance to win the game.
Yep.
And they did that. And they did it, you know? So it was back and forth each, because I sure thought when Buffalo scored that last touchdown,
it was over.
I was like, but I didn't realize they had timeouts. I was like, man, Pat Mahomes about to go down here. And Josh Allen thought it was over too. And then you saw his face change. And he was like, this is unbelievable. But like, that's good. You know, that's football. And, you know, that's why you play to win. You play for that home field advantage, because that crowd, that, what is it, 13th man?
That's the 12th
man.
11 on the field.
So. Okay. That 12th man matters. Because it matters playing at home. So it was a great game indeed.
No, it was. I believe that Patrick Mahomes tweeted out, I told y'all he was crazy, because Travis Kelce was the one that gave him the play to get them to the overtime.
Oh wow.
So he said, I told y'all this man was crazy. So Jared and I had this conversation, like whoever wins these two games this weekend, they're going to have to come with it for the Super Bowl. Cause I felt like I watched it already.
Right. Yeah. You hope these two games are just as good as the last four from last week.
So I need to see the Super Bowl be just as good as the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, or I'm going to be disappointed. Cause that was phenomenal. So Matt Stafford doing his thing against Pat Mahomes will give us that.
Yeah, that will give us that. That will give us the show. That'll be the show for real.
So, yes. All right, next. So we know first of all, kudos, good luck, Ben Roethlisberger retired today.
Yes, today. Congrats, Big Ben.
Big Ben, thank you for your career and everything that you brought to the game. But we've got two others who now we're like, what's going to happen with them? I don't think so. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. So Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's retiring, but just not sure what's going to happen. Is he going to be with Green Bay next year? Or is he going somewhere else? Thoughts?
I think Aaron's leaving. I think after all the stuff that happened this season and, you know, him not being sure about coming back and then all the stuff, we're not going to even get into that, that transpired this season. You know, I think it's time for a change. Like, he's been there so close, but not close enough, you know? I don't think he's retiring, but I don't think he'll be a Packer.
Okay. And I agree. I feel like, if he's watching, like, what's happened with Matthew Stafford, just that change of scenery sometimes when you're a good quarterback
and
you, you find the right system for you, it could you and the right talent around you, like you know. So I think he could, he'll probably be one that'll be able to pick and choose, kind of, you know what I'm saying?
I think so.
So yeah, I feel like that. What about Tom Brady?
I think he's coming back to Tampa.
You do?
I think he's coming back. He's a competitor. Like, I don't, he's a competitor. I mean, I think he's coming back. I think he's going to give it another go. They looked pretty good this season. He doesn't look like he's losing anything.
No, he had better numbers this season than he had So, yeah.
I think he may, like, is his contract up?
I think he's got a year left.
Okay. I was about to say, he may kind of like drag it out, but I think he's going to be a buck. Like, I think it's a good place. I think it works for him. They got some good pieces around people. He can get whoever he wants to come play with him. So
he going to have to do some, they're going to have to do something about his offensive line to shore that up.
Yeah.
He got touched more. He's been touched more in Tampa than he ever was in New England. And he's older. So you got to shore this O-line up.
Right.
For him, you got to get him that big, I know Godwin will probably be back next year. Mike Evans, we don't know. Gronk already said, if you ask me today, I'm retiring.
We know how Gronk works.
Gronk is just waiting on Tom. I think that's the, if Tom stays, Gronk stays. That's kind of how it works. But I don't know. I feel like if he can, if they can guarantee him those things, he'll come back.
Okay.
So it's about personnel for him.
Yeah, I agree. He's about personnel. He has to protect his body.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a 45-year-old body
next
year. So. 45. So, my gosh, sir. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. We've been doing the last couple of weeks, I think I've done an On to the Real. Mixed emotions about this mental health moment. We've talked about this gentleman probably more than ever over the last few weeks, and rightfully so, but I thought it was important to address some of the things that Antonio Brown said when he appeared on I Am Athlete this past week. I feel like he is in a space of defense, like being defensive almost about his mental health, instead of being open to the possibility. It's weird because he was almost contradictory. What did you think? I felt like he was almost contradictory because in one statement he said, we play football, CTE is real. This could be, you know, all of us experience, that's what he's, all of us are experiencing CTE, that's what he said. But then you turn around and you like, when Brandon Marshall says, you're a lot like Kanye, first thing out of your mouth is you're trying to call me crazy. And he kept defending his, I don't know the word to even use, his lack of
skill to handle,
the ability to handle certain situations in a professional way, because that was really where Brandon was coming from, right. But I felt like he was in a space of just, it was defense, he got defensive, and so he turned the tides, if you will. And those are, these people who typically say, oh, I'm good, I don't need, I don't have, those are probably the people who need it the most,
right?
So it was, to me, I think it was a wake-up call to athletes and African-American men and people in general, though, to be honest with yourself, be honest with your, with where you are. It might be scary. It might not be something you're used to. It might not be something you've ever even thought about, because that doesn't typically, those are not conversations that are happening around our dinner tables, right? So, but I really was just, I don't know, I was in my place of angst with this, because I was like, But you just said it out of your own mouth. Like when you started, you were in this, you get it, but you don't want to admit it. You get it, but you don't want to admit it. That's the way to sum this up to me.
Yeah. It was hard to watch, especially that last 30 minutes. I watched it 30 minutes and I stopped and I came back to it a little bit later. It was very hard to watch. It got a little chaotic for me, just even in viewing it. I was like, what's happening? Like, it's, you know, it was hard to watch. I appreciate what Brandon Marshall, his perspective. And like you said, there's one thing to say. He was kind of alluding to, this is just how I am. And just because that's how we are doesn't mean that we're right.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we're wrong either, but I saw a lack of openness to even examine your actions. And even in the analogy, you know, Brandon said, well, I wouldn't have done that because I, you know, was concerned about the bag. I wanted to be a Hall of Famer. I wanted to do all these things that I thought you wanted to do as well. And how he was alluding to, you know, it's just like someone walking off a job, but you're a millionaire, AB. Like, you have money. So the things that you do, normal people can't do because they do have a family. You know, how many people out here working jobs they don't want to work because they got to support their family and their kids. Right. So that whole mentality of like, somebody makes you mad, somebody gets under your skin, somebody says something to you that's not right or that you don't agree with that makes you mad, then you just respond. And Brandon's explanation of reacting versus responding was really good. I was good. Like, man, that's good. You know, so that whole mantra of like, you just do what you do. You can do that and you can still be okay. You can still take care of yourself, but like passing that on to other people, everybody's life's not, most people's lives are not set up that way. And I was like, man, that messaging can get so distorted because it's like, well, AB did it, so I could do it. No, you can't because you're not going to have a job tomorrow.
Or a home in 2 weeks if you, right? Like,
you know, so.
Be real, like be real. People live paycheck to paycheck.
I mean,
yeah,
he's authentically himself. I give him that. He stands on what he feels, but I think that he just has a lack of openness to examine from all perspectives and from like a business perspective, the NFL. He's like, the NFL is the business. Well, you gotta treat it like a business. You gotta play the game. That's business.
And I probably wouldn't have done what Brandon said do either. I probably would have calmly, you know, they may have still followed me because like Brandon said, four cameras on you at all times just because you ate me, right? But I would have probably kept my stuff on and just walked to the locker room. But he made a spectacle of it. And that's the part of it that's like,
that's
the emotion. That's where the response versus the, you know what I mean? The reaction is, you were reactionary and not responding. You were you were allowing your emotion. So you are led. That's what it is, essentially. Whether we don't know, because nobody, as far as I know, has done any evaluation of him from a mental health standpoint. But we know one thing, we can see this for ourselves for sure, that he is an emotional, he reacts out of emotion.
Yeah.
To everything. Even on the show, he was reacting out of emotion. You were trying to make it you and everybody else against Brandon. You know what I mean? You didn't like what Brandon was saying. You were kind of, and so I see that's just kind of where you were going. But you're a really smart guy. You got a lot going on. I love your response about Tom Brady. Like, that was great.
Yeah.
I just need you to just do some self-examination. So
I think so.
This mental health moment, I just wanted to say, I think what you just said, because that was a part I didn't even think about, is huge in this, in that anybody who's listening to us, hear what Jamia just said. You can't do what AB does. And please don't allow that commentary to make you feel like you are empowered to do so. I agree with him in the respect that I gotta be real to myself, and I have to be earnest and honest about who I am. And that's fine. I'm not telling anybody to be a fraud. I'm not telling anybody to be fake. I'm saying, but you got to think about this, as Brandon said, as a response and not a reaction.
Right.
I would not suggest anybody, I don't care what somebody did to you at your job, just walk off. Mm-hmm. Unless they physically hurt you.
Right.
I don't see, no.
Yeah.
So I agree. And the other point to this is allowing yourself the opportunity to really introspect as a human being. The problem is, he just been going, busy since he did this, right? And I feel like that's so I don't have to slow down and hear, like, literally deal with myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I encourage people to do so. Introspect. I mean, I do it on a daily basis, but I'm just saying, like, literally take time, find a space, get quiet. Here for you, like, really evaluate what's going on with you. Be mm-hmm. honest with yourself, because if you're not, you can't. So this is my saying to the people that I work with all the time. If you can recognize it and acknowledge it, you can fix it.
All right.
But you got to be able to recognize it. And then the big part of it is acknowledging it.
Yeah.
So I just hope that at some point he can get to that space. And he may be perfectly nothing going on, but I just don't know, but you just need to give yourself the opportunity, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Enough. I don't think I'm going to talk about AB no more, okay? On a lighter note, we're going to go on to our feel-good final thought. And this one, okay, y'all know I'm horrible with last names. Can you say you know I'm horrible with names. This is a MMA fighter. He's a champion MMA fighter. He just fought this weekend, past weekend, in fact, and won. There was this huge stink. He won the UFC 270, I think it was.
Okay.
Huge stink because Dana White did not put the belt on him like he normally does or something. So I'm going to tell y'all, this has nothing to do with his feel-good story, but I'll just tell y'all that what happened was, because he's an MMA fighter, Dana White runs that whole shebang bang. And they pretty much tried to, right before he was supposed to go out for this fight on Saturday, his manager came back and told him they were being sued because they were, some kind of way they felt like it was a breach of contract for him to do this.
Oh, wow.
Craziness. So anyway, needless to say, though, he was picked. Francis' name is, we hadn't said his name yet. Because I don't know how to say this last name, y'all. Francis, I want to say it's Ganu. Francis Ganu.
Okay.
MMA champion. His journey to this, even being an MMA champion and much less winning this UFC fight, was amazing.
Wow.
From Cameroon, he moved to Morocco with a false identity. He was like in his 20s. Mm-hmm. A false identity of a 40-year-old construction worker. So apparently, I need to look into this because I did not know this, but apparently people of color are treated really poorly.
Color what?
Are treated really poorly.
Oh, okay.
In Morocco.
Okay.
And, well, I know them of color, so I don't know what the reason is. Maybe immigrants are treated, I don't know. But anyway, they were being treated really poorly, so he tried to escape like 10 times from this place, getting on boats, they get caught, go back, go to jail. So he did this about 10 times, and then, finally, they succeeded. It was him and I think five other people on a boat that got rescued by the Red Cross.
Oh, wow.
And they were outside of Moroccan waters, so they did not have to take them back to Morocco. They took them to Spain.
Mm.
where they had to be almost like in jail, a quarantine kind of jail thing for like 10 days, I think it was, 2 months. Mm-hmm. 2 months they were detained. But after that, he was set free and he got on this journey that brought him to America that allowed him to be in this space right now.
Wow, that's awesome.
So kudos to you. Like, you had a fight before you had a fight.
Right. So that fight ain't nothing. The fight now.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. I remember now, because he wants to box. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. Oh, got it.
That's the problem. That's why they want to sue him. It's not about the UFC fight. It was the boxing.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, so I just feel like this is, you know, our barometer for Feel Good Final Thought is always something that makes eyeballs sweat or you mm-hmm. smile. And so this is one yeah. of those smile things for me, because yeah. when I read his story, I said, my God, like, yeah. And so I shared that story originally about him being sued, because I'm like, in his mind, it's like, whatever. Whatever. Yeah. I'm about to go out here and fight.
Right, and this make, is nothing.
Like, millions of dollars. So whatever. Like, you know, I was on a boat 5 years
right.
ago trying to get whatever. So yeah, I just thought it was a great story.
Absolutely.
Thought it was a great story. So all right. So now we're on to show picks. So what you watching?
I got one. I get one or two.
You can do two. I always cheat and do two. You're fine.
So I get my first one. So I don't really watch TV during the week. I just catch it on Hulu. Like, one day I'll watch all my shows. So I don't watch live TV. Okay. But Abbott Elementary.
Oh my God.
So good. And I love the Black male teacher. Oh. And just like the whole, it really shows the importance of teaching and the yes. struggles that inner city teachers, all teachers have struggles. Let's just be yes. honest. But when you're passionate and dedicated yes. to the kids, no matter what's happening,
yes,
you're still going to fight for the kids. Yes. So it is such a feel-good show. You mean you see the old school versus the new school? Oh, like, it's just God. So cute.
Cheryl Lee Ralph is like the old school.
Yeah.
Tyler it's James so and the other girl there, the new school. And then that principal. Listen.
She's so trifling.
Trash. She is trash. You hear me? She is trash. Yeah. I love it though. No, I love
that's
it.
That's one of my shows. Okay. I love to catch up on. Yeah. I watch it on a weekly basis, but just not yeah. when it comes on live. Yeah. And then I'm also watching the Pivot podcast. Uh-huh.
Yes.
You know, I am athlete divided or divided mm-hmm. and conquered. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but yeah. I so appreciate the conversations that mm-hmm. have come out of the Pivot so yeah. far. Like, every one of them has been, and really I see them taking the approach of bridging the gap mm-hmm. because they're having conversations across generations,
yeah.
which I think is a unique way to tell the story. Yeah. From the guy from the Cowboys, Ryan Clark's son, Marvin yeah. Lewis was amazing. I had never yeah. heard Marvin Lewis talk. Deliver.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard him talk, but like, he was so intriguing. Like, I want to know more about him. Like,
yeah.
he knows the game. He has a heart for young men, developing them. And then this most recent one this week, I was literally laughing out loud. Like, it was so funny.
I haven't seen this week.
They had Charles Haley on there. He was okay. 5-time champ. I never had heard of him before, okay. to be honest, but old school, just an old school guy. And like, he was just shooting the breeze and it was yeah. so authentic. It was so yeah. entertaining. And also enlightening, you know, because he came from a different generation and it's just amazing. So I'm loving the way that they're telling their stories
yeah.
and how they're bringing their guests on and steering the conversations. So shout out to them. Ryan Clark is amazing at like steering the conversation yeah. in the show. Because yeah. Channing, you got to
Reel him back in real fast.
So Brad will get in there.
Yeah, somewhere.
Brad yeah. get in there. But I think they have amazing chemistry. I just hope they continue on the path that they're on. But I love how they're telling their stories.
Good. Yeah. No, I've talked about the Pivot on here before because I told you about, I was like, this show, okay.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Okay.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And they have great chemistry.
They silly. Well, Channing is silly.
Channing is
Fred is serious. So that's a great
Ryan the balance of like balancing it off one another.
So I do. I love it.
But yeah.
So for me this week, I watched Sarah Jake's Woman Evolve TV, which is her podcast.
Okay.
She had one of my favorite people, Priscilla Schreier, on there.
Oh, yes.
And that, listen, their conversation was so deep.
Wow.
Lord have mercy. I said, well, first of all, I'm a huge SJR fan.
Okay.
Let's just start there. But I'm also like, Priscilla Schreier is one of the books, I've read one of her books that just kind of changed the trajectory of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were just having a real, you know, real, I love it because they're both, you know, in the spotlight as women in, mm-hmm. in ministry, but they were real honest and open, you know. Priscilla was sharing about her trials and tribulations and stuff she's gone through and how it made her feel. And Sarah was like, I'm glad you're saying it because this is how we, you know, like, this is real talk. So
yeah,
I loved it. I loved it. I said, I will definitely be tuning in all the time because I thought it was amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I got to check that out.
Yeah. So, all right. So we're at the end of another one. We've made it to the end of episode 146. So we, again, appreciate you all for tuning in. We appreciate you for always rocking with us.
Yeah.
We can't thank you enough for how you support us and just continue to do so. We just love you all. You don't understand how much we love y'all. And so if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at feel2therealpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at feel2therealp1. You can get us IG at feel2therealpodcast. And you can also find us on Facebook where you always get notifications about when we upload it to our YouTube page. And please, please, please join us on our YouTube page. So both the Facebook and YouTube, what you see behind me, Feel to the Real Podcast. And so like, subscribe, share. Making sure that, you know, this gets out. We want people to see what we bring to the table and we feel like it's good and we need y'all to continue to rock with us.
Yes.
We thank y'all for joining us today.
Yes. Peace.
Peace.
Now put the cameras on me. 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 Put the cameras on me.